now. We'll get back to Genesis. Reviewing the doctrine after Jacob's encounter here in Genesis 32, in the first two verses of an angelic host on his travels back to the land of Canaan. And now we resume in verses 3 through 5, where in these particular verses, Jacob here initiates contacting his brother Esau. With that. All right, looking here at the Hebrew, verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau on the land of Seir, the country of Edom. You had the wow consecutive. Follow with our verb sent, to send, the cow and perfect third masculine singer, Shalach, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. That being Jacob doing the sending, proper noun, transliterated. Messengers, here are a word noun for messengers, earlier translated angels, gives us our most basic meaning of this word, messengers. Common masculine plural absolute, malak. M-A-L-E-A-K-E. Sent messengers before him to his brother Esau. He had the preposition lamed, followed with the common both plural construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, our word translated face, paneh. Hence his presence, his person, P-A-N-E-H, hence before him. To Esau is your preposition El, denoting direction, E-L. Esau, transliterated, proper noun. His brother, reminding us of their familial relationship. Brother is your common masculine singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, his brother, Ach, A-C-H. In the land of Seir, you had a common masculine singular noun construct, our word for land, ground, earth, as it may be translated, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Seir, proper noun, transliterated again, S-E-I-Y-R. The country of Edom. Country is your common masculine singular construct noun, our word literally for field, hence a plain, a flat plain, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H, translated country. Plain of Edom, proper noun, transliterated. Verse 4, he also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord Esau. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to command, to give an order, is a PL imperfect, which is intensive. Third masculine singular, tasawa, the verb, T-S-A-W-A-H, commanded. He charged them. He had to sign the direct object with the third masculine plural suffix, F. Saying is your preposition lamed with the cal infinitive construct, kind of circumstantial in its grammatical use, amar, A-M-A-R. He gave an order while, under the circumstances of verbally giving it, is the idea in the Hebrew. Thus is your adverb ko, K-O-H. You will say is our verb amar, repeated here as a cal imperfect second masculine plural in this case, in this form. To my Lord is the preposition lamed, followed with our common masculine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix adon, A-D-O-N. To Esau to identify specifically whom he is referring to. Preposition lamed, proper noun. Thus says your servant Jacob. Again, ko, adverb ko, K-O-H, thus. Says is your amar verb, again, A-M-A-R, cal perfect third masculine singular. Your servant is the common masculine singular constructed. Second masculine singular suffix are noun eved, E-B-E-D. Jacob, proper noun. Then, you, first of all, you have the prepositional phrase with Laban in the Hebrew. You have the preposition im, I-M, followed with their proper noun, Laban. Then our verb to sojourn or dwell. You have the cal perfect verb, first common singular, gur, G-U-R. And stayed until now. You have the wow consecutive. And then our verb to stay is to delay in one's staying. Is the idea is a cal perfect first common singular, akar, A-C-H-A-R. Until now is your preposition ad, A-D, plus your adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H. In verse 5, then they are to inform him of certain property that he has acquired. And I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants. Well, consecutive, translated I have, is literally the cal and perfect third masculine singular verb haya, H-A-Y-A-H. It has come into existence, has become. For me is the Hebrew language, hence I have. Preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. Then first you have our noun for oxen is a common masculine singular absolute. Here is a collective singular, shore, S-H-O-R. The Hebrew has a phenomenon in its grammar that a singular can refer to a group, but it's seen in a collective way as a unit. Oxen, and then donkeys, wow conjunction. In your common masculine singular noun absolute, shamor, C-H-A-M-O-R, donkeys, he, asses in this case. Flocks, no conjunction here, it's just donkeys, flocks, comma, flocks, common, both singular noun absolute, tison, T-S-O-N, and servants, wow conjunction. And then our noun for servants, common masculine singular absolute, eved, again, E-B-E-D. And then female servants, wow conjunction. And then our common feminine singular absolute noun, shifaka, S-H-I-P-H-E-C-H-A-H, and maids, female servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. What the servants are to communicate to Esau. You have the wow consecutive. Again, our verb to send, shalach, cal and perfect first common singular. To tell my Lord, you have the preposition lamed, followed with the hifil infinitive construct, our verb to make known, hence to tell, nagad, N-A-G-A-D. To or for my Lord, preposition lamed, then our noun again, adon, A-D-O-N, common masculine singular construct with the first common singular suffix. The purpose that I may find favor in your sight. You have the preposition lamed repeated again here with the infinitive, cal infinitive construct of our verb to matsa, to find, M-A-T-S-A. in order to denotes purpose. Infinities can denote different strains of intent. Here's purpose, in order to find. And then our word translated favor is the common masculine singular absolute. Our word for grace, kin, C-H-E-N. In your sight is a preposition bet. Then follow with our word literally for eyes, common both dual constructed second masculine singular suffix ion, A-Y-I-N, in your eyes. All right, rereading the verses here. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the plain fields of Edom. Verse 4, he also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and delayed or stayed until now, some 20 years. Verse 5, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants. And flocks is put in the English. Just, I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. And I've sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. All right. Analysis verses 3 through 5. So one, what Jacob walked away with as a result of the angelic appearance in verses 1 and 2 was bolstered courage. In other words, is designed to strengthen his faith rest. Here he has just underwent the ordeal with his uncle Laban, and they're making all these accusations. And of course, everything that occurred beforehand, leaving the country to return back to Canaan in this respect. And Laban out trying to thwart his travels, but only with warning from God, if you do so, it's at your own risk of life, essentially. After all that, he separates from Laban, and they do it basically on peaceful terms to the degree that at least there is no overt hostility between them. And immediately, or sometime shortly, after that whole encounter with his uncle Laban, then he had that supernatural event of the angelic host appearing before him. And they were silent. They said nothing. But he knew exactly what it was all about. It was God giving him evidence, proof and time to encourage him that God was with him. Angels were at God's beck and call on his behalf to protect him. And God's promises, indeed, he can faith rest the fact that God's promises will be fulfilled in regards to returning him back to the land as he told him he would earlier, some 20 years ago. And that he would be with him all the way. That was all in a system where actions spoke louder than words, more or less. That was a doctrine communicating in such fashion. And so, after seeing all these angels, well, you can imagine. He didn't have to drink him any guts. They were multiplied right there in seeing this supernatural situation with his angelic host. And his courage obviously would be supported, reinforced in regards to going on, recognizing that he's going to have to now deal eventually with his brother Esau, who the last time he saw him had words of murder on his mind in regards to Jacob for what he did in his eyes, stealing the birthright. So he walks away from that situation, and you got to keep these things in perspective in the context, or otherwise you miss the intent in regards to certain things that go on. So he walks away with bolstered courage. His faith rest is strong. Okay, God's with me. Two, this thing gives incentive for his actions now to initiate contact with his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Esau, Eretz, Seir, Sedeh, Edom. You go from the angelic presentation to now he's seeking to initiate contact with his brother. Well, why is this? Because his faith rest is strong right now. And I've got to deal with this. And he shows a believer this intent. Rather than running from his problems, he's going to now just deal with this test head on. Believers, they have tests. A lot of times it's our actions to try to run away from them, skip them, rather than just deal with what God gives you in life. And deal with the test head on. When you run from things, often all you're doing is pushing in the background certain aspects of your life that needs to be challenged, that you need to deal with. See, before God, that's why He gives you tests. It's to test your level of integrity, where you're at spiritually, how strong your faith rest really is. So, the angelic appearance gives incentive now, the mojo, for Jacob to just go out and confront Esau now under these terms. So, three, now the word Seir, the land of Seir, this location, that word means hairy or rough. We saw it back in 25:25. Our word, hairy garments, Seir. Now, the first came forth of the twins, Jacob, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn. He should have had rights of primogeniture, but he forfeited those rights when he sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils, bean soup. And he don't even know if he had cornbread with it. And a little ham. Somebody mentioned, what do you think Christ, the demons, wanted to go into the herd of swine for? When Christ exercised in front of the man. I said, man, everybody loves bacon. But anyway. All right, a little twisted humor from the pastor. Seir, all over like a hairy garment. He came out of the womb like a fuzzball. And a red hair. Maybe the first Irish was born. Who knows? No. And they named him Esau. And names are often coordinated with a situation or appearance, things of that nature. So Seir, here, the land of Seir, means hairy or rough. And it's a play on the name Esau. As Edom, the land of Seir in Edom, means red. A nickname given to him in association with having red hair, and then the stew caper we just spoke of in verse 30 of Genesis 25, where Esau comes in from hunting the field in the typical way that men will often act, have been without food. He thinks he's dying of starvation. And Jacob, this guy's quick on his feet, man. He sees it an advantage, take advantage of his brother. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there. And that's where his name Edom came from. For I am famished, therefore his name was called Edom. So, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, recognizes that in the last 20 years, Jacob was not only busy on his own right, his brother had obviously developed a small country over this time. So 40, the area is located primarily south and east of the Dead Sea. And while Seir is often associated with a mountainous area, our text here suggests that at the time, Esau extended his presence into the flat plain area. And that's from your word, Sedeh, field, or land of Edom, further north, placing Jacob within easy reach, going to Shechem. Let me see Anyway, here's the Dead Sea, the lower Higgiel part. Jordan River goes up to the Sea of Galilee, up north of that. Shechem, somewhere in this general area. I don't find it on this particular. Oh, there it is up here. He's going to settle there ultimately. And all through here, the Dead Sea, along the east of it, is mountainous. Get up here in the plain area, in this regards. Even though Edom, as you can see, kind of is southern, and in the area part of the deal, obviously, this looks at his power extended, if you will, northward. And Jacob's coming down this direction, and he's going to be heading over across the Jordan here a little bit. So anyway, there's your map. Maybe you have a better map than that. So that word field says we're not in the mountains. It's in a plains area. And we know he didn't go too far south from other scripture here. So, five. Now, only the angelic counter here gives us any sense, or gives any sense of orientation as to why Jacob's actions that are recorded immediately after the fact. Again, it's the, if you will, I lost my other picture now. Oh well. We're getting there. So only the angelic counterpoint 5 gives any sense of orientation as to why of Jacob's actions that are recorded immediately after the fact. And continuing on here in regards to incentive and intent, what's driving Jacob at this point in time to do what he's doing. 6, Jacob would be quite aware that the word of his travels would reach Esau's ears, considering the extraordinary size of the caravan, that his brother's power extended in a fairly vast area geographically. Size of his caravan, news would spread like wildfire. And this big, huge company of people and animals heading down the area from Haran. Esau, I have an idea who that might be. So 6, again, Jacob would be quite aware that the word of his travels would reach Esau's ears, considering the extraordinary size of the caravan. 7, leaning on his reinforced determination to faith rest. You got your spiritual guts together, see. You're in fellowship. All right, I got a test. I'm going to faith rest this. And I'm going to make my application why I'm faith resting, when I'm strongest in that sense, if you will. So leaning on his reinforced determination to faith rest, verse point 7. He concludes that the best course of action to deal with the situation is to take the initiative in announcing his eventual arrival, rather than look like he's running or trying to slip past him or whatever. Completely opposite of how he slipped out of here. Not telling Uncle Laban or anything. But this one he's going to meet head on. 8, he does so by sending, quote, messengers before him, end quote, Melech, Lamed, Paneh. So nine, now as we mentioned, the Hebrew noun Melech, primary meaning messengers, is the same noun used for angels that we just had in verse 1. The angels of God met him. Grammatically tying his actions now back to the angelic event in the grammar. So 10, the idea is that Jacob took the intended force of the silent message of the angels, this intention of encouraging to Jacob, to faith rest, and now personifies it in the sending of his own human messengers to Esau. It's just kind of this transmission, if you will, of the idea of the word from angelic messengers now being personified, the encouragement being personified by the human messengers that he sends to Esau. Mama way. So 11, now that as the ongoing text will make clear, his primary purpose is to reestablish peace between the two if Esau is so willing. That's what he wants to do. 12, God has just delivered him from the hands of his antagonistic uncle Laban, following up with the angelic event, evidencing God's approval, separating him from Laban on peaceful terms back in chapter 31, 55. So, just as any normal believer would take these things as indication and evidence of, God bless that. So, now I'm going to try to establish peace with my brother Esau. On that end, that's a deal I've got to, that's a headache I've got to deal with. See? So, God has just delivered him, point 12 again, from the hands of his antagonistic uncle Laban, following up with the angelic event. Evidencing God's approval, separating from Laban on peaceful terms. 13, so why not ride this wave of spiritual momentum to now address the only other remaining potential antagonist facing him on his path home? All that makes sense. That's just logic. See. 14, the timing of a future encounter appears imminent. It's going to happen. It's not if, but when. And probably unavoidable. And so to make his initial application seems to be logical and expedient by divine design. In other words, this would be God's will for me to do this. So we bring all this out because, again, you have a difference of opinionated interpretations. 15, the idea that Jacob was initially motivated, exercising faith rest, this courage, is in contrast to interpreters that paint him acting out of fear at this point in the context. You read commentaries, it's like immediately, oh, he's under fear again. Well, not quite yet. Hold your horses. Take a little look, closer look at these verses and see what's going on. Yeah, he'll get under fear. Give him time. I hate to call somebody a sinner when they haven't sinned. Something that we should all be careful about. 16, while sin fear becomes an issue, the text makes it clear that it doesn't rear its ugly head until the news of Esau's army reaches his ears, as we will get into verses 6 and 7. In verse 6, and the messengers return to Jacob after the fact, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he's coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Then fear hit him. Hit home like a bunch of rocks on his head. And all this is important to capture the very essence of really the primary lesson or teaching in regards to this particular chapter. And that is just how easy it is to be in fellowship one second of your life and turn around the next second, be completely and totally out of fellowship. This whole idea you find out there in the Christian world that somehow you get a little, you get the gospel message, you believe, and somehow you should just automatically turn into this righteous dude, see? That you have a real grip on your life. And sin should be at the background. It's always, you know, pastors, they love to throw that at just the pastors. People do. Well, I'm here to tell you the reality. You can be in a fellowship 1 second, turn right around, and be out of fellowship the next. And it's not that hard. Trust me. Somebody told me that. Sit there praying about what you're doing, maybe construction work or whatever, and in fellowship and thinking Bible doctrine, and you're going and you're communing with God while you're working away, and all of a sudden you hit your thumb, wow, that STA did, bam. A little short of blasphemy, but, you know, the anger or whatever, however one may express their STA. So, Jacob is this perfect example. The believer that struggles has his internal struggle in regards to his STA, in regards to his Christian life. But yet, we will see, God proclaims him as a mature believer when we get to the end of the chapter. So, all this I'm putting in between the spaces here for you is to mold for you how all this is going to play out. And he begins adjusted in this situation. Faith rest. Gonna make peace with my brother if he'll have it. And I'm gonna move on with my life. So 17. Now, some interpreters further suggest that Jacob's original endeavor was all for naught, being energy of the flesh apart from faith rest. That this initial encounter to initiate this meeting, in and of itself, was nothing but energy of the flesh. 18, yet the text again makes clear that his extension of the proverbial olive branch here has exactly its desired effect in Genesis 33:3, when they finally meet. Esau is nothing but open arms. Okay, to fill in the blanks there, all Esau knows is what Jacob's servants that he sent out there told him. That's all that's recorded for us. And then when he shows up and meets Jacob finally, there is no animosity whatsoever. 33:3, but he himself, verse 4, then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. That doesn't sound like some PO'd brother out to kill him. Doesn't look like he has any intentions whatsoever. So, this is part of those puzzles. You got to put these pieces of the puzzle together, keep our thinking straight. So, again, try to avoid accusation where it's not legitimate in regards to wrongdoing. To extend the proverbial, this is the irony of this, he's going to extend this proverbial olive branch of peace, and it has its desired effect. But then we're going to see everything in between. As everything comes back, as he hears back from the news of Esau and watches STA just get a grip on this guy and throw him for a loop, as Yahweh will do later on too in the whole passage. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.